Welcome to the show. Why do people who have never read a word of income tax law believe the income tax applies to them? One reason is that people think the tax code is indecipherable. What they don't realize is that income tax law has been intentionally written to seem unknowable. More than any other area of law, tax law is filled with legal tricks and gimmicks to confuse the public. Today, I'm going to share with you some of the legal tricks used to make the code seem impenetrable, when in reality, the whole thing is pretty simple once you understand the gimmicks they've employed. Once you understand how, by using these legal gimmicks, they've pulled the wool over your eyes, you will begin to see the truth, which is that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. I think you're going to enjoy today's unmasking of some of the methods the government uses to betray the trust of the American people.
The Dr. Reality Vodcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I am the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the best-selling book in the country that lays out, in a way everyone can understand, the truth that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. Because I know what tax law says, including knowing all the smarmy legal tricks the government has used to deceive the American people, I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years. Of course, there was a day I didn't know any of this. It took years for me to understand all the gimmicks and deceptions the government has built into the tax code. Today, I'm going to share some of them with you. If you want to understand the entirety of the income tax scam, read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I'm offering free shipping right now on any order from my Dr. Reality website, drreality.news. Just use the code TARIFFS at checkout. I'll share more about that later. The first gimmick up to bat is the way the government has defined the legal term includes and how it operates as part of the scam. Before we can get into the specifics of includes, we need to understand what a legal term is. In law, the meaning of what is written can only be found in one of two ways. One way is to use a standard English dictionary. In law, that's called the plain meaning rule. But the plain meaning rule is only applicable in the absence of legislatively provided definitions. When a legislature provides its own definition for a word, then only that definition can be used, and the dictionary definition becomes irrelevant. When the legislature has provided its own definition for a word, in law, it ceases to be a word and becomes a legal term. In short, the meaning of words is to be found in the dictionary, while the meaning of legal terms is found exclusively in the legislatively provided definitions. Of course, 99.9% of people who are looking at the law for some reason never bother to look at the definition section. They don't even know there's such a thing as a legal term, which requires them to find the meaning in the definition section. They wrongly assume they already know what the words mean. Because they don't know what you just learned, they end up with an incorrect understanding of what the law actually means. One of the interesting quirks of legal terms is they can appear in the definitions of other legal terms. That means that as you're reading the definition of one legal term, you need to check the entire definition section to see if the definition you're reading contains other legal terms. The use of includes is a perfect example of a legal term that frequently appears in the definitions of other legal terms. If you don't know how includes has been defined, then you won't be able to discern the correct meaning of the definition you're reading. Let's take a look at the definition of includes in the tax code, which is found at 26 U.S.C. 7701C and reads, "The terms includes and including when used in a definition contained in this title shall not be deemed to exclude other things otherwise within the meaning of the term defined." Yeah, so that's a bit of a mind bender, isn't it? That awkward phrasing dates back to the turn of the 20th century. A far more recent definition that has the exact same meaning is found in another area of taxation at 27 CFR 72.11 and reads, the terms includes and including do not exclude things not enumerated, which are in the same general class. In law school, the meaning of includes, as it operates in the tax code, is referred to as a term of expansion. I prefer using the more accurately descriptive phrase, a term of limited expansion, because it can only be expanded to include items within the class established by the enumerated items. Allow me to illustrate how includes works by offering a fictitious example. Let's say a statute defines the word food. In the definition, pay attention to the enumerated items after includes. The definition reads like this. As used in this chapter, the term food includes apples, pears, apricots, plums, and oranges. All right, what is the class established by the words appearing after includes? Well, fruit, of course. So, under the rules of expansion for includes, items such as watermelon, strawberries, and bananas are to be considered a part of the definition, even though not enumerated. However, based on the class established by the enumerated items, things like steak, bread, eggs, or broccoli cannot be considered part of the definition of food, despite the fact that those would all be food as the word is commonly understood. Let's look at includes in a definition that may very well impact your life, specifically in the definition of employee for the purpose of payroll withholding, which is found at 26 U.S.C. 3401C. Before we read it, remember, the items that appear after includes create a class, and things that do not appear in the definition are still part of the definition if they fit within the class. Listen carefully to the enumerated items after the word includes. Once we read the definition, you tell me what the class is. Here we go. For the purpose of this chapter, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. Okay, so what's the class? If you said people holding government jobs with various government entities, you're spot on. So, if that's the definition of employee that legally controls wage withholding, why is the company for which you work withholding from your check? It's okay if you don't know. They don't know either. At this point, I want to switch from income tax statutes passed by Congress to Treasury decisions, specifically Treasury decisions 8734 and 8881. Treasury decisions are the official determination of the Secretary of the Treasury on various tax issues. Sometimes the statutes and regs don't provide adequate detail, so you have to go to Treasury decisions to find the answer. I'm including Treasury decisions in this presentation about legal trickery and gimmicks the government uses to fool the American people about income tax, because while most Americans know that statutes and regulations exist, almost no one has ever heard of Treasury decisions. The fact that the government fails to provide all the necessary particulars in the statutes and regs, which Americans know about, only to provide those missing critical details in documents virtually no American has ever heard of, clearly shows the government's intent to deceive. We were just discussing wage withholding, so we're going to stick with that as we look at Treasury decisions 8734 and 8881. The critical fact to know about 8734 and 8881 is that they both exclusively address U.S. source income paid to foreign persons. Every word is about U.S. source income paid to foreign persons. No other subject is addressed at all. I'll put links to both those Treasury decisions down in the notes so you can verify that for yourself. Before we get into what 8734 and 8881 say, let's quickly look at the command to engage in wage withholding. We already read the controlling definition of employee, but we didn't look at the command to withhold. That's found in 26 U.S.C. 3402 and reads, except as otherwise provided in this section, every employer making payment of wages shall deduct and withhold upon such wages a tax determined in accordance with blah, blah, blah. As we look at the Treasury decisions, The important thing to keep in mind is that the command for wage withholding is section 3402. 3402. Keep that number in your head as we read the Treasury decisions. Here is a passage from Treasury Decision 8734. Quote, a payor making payments to foreign persons must also be aware of the information reporting provisions under Chapter 61 of the Code and other withholding regimens, such as Sections 3406, backup withholding, Section 3402, wage withholding, and Section 3405, withholding on pensions, annuities, etc. Keep in mind, 8734 pertains exclusively to U.S. source income being paid to foreigners. And the passage we just read begins with the words, a payor making payments to a foreign person. Let's read the whole passage again. A payor making payments to foreign persons must also be aware of the information reporting provisions under Chapter 61 of the Code and other withholding regimens, such as Section 3406, backup withholding, Section 3402, wage withholding, and Section 3405, withholding on pensions, annuities, etc. Let's connect a few more dots. The passage we just read begins with a payor making payments. So then, who's the payor? That's found in 26 CFR 1.1441-1C19 and reads, the term payor is defined in 31.3406A2 of this chapter and 1.6041-4A2 and generally includes a withholding agent. A payor generally includes a withholding agent. In this context, generally means it is always so unless there is an exception specified in some part of the regulation. I've been reading income tax regulations for 3 decades and I've never found an exception. In other words, payor and withholding agents are synonymous terms. So then, what's a withholding agent? That's found in 26 CFR 1.1441-7A and reads, for the purpose of Chapter 3 of the Internal Revenue Code and the regulations under such chapter, the term withholding agent means any person, U.S. or foreign, that has the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any item of income of a foreign person. This is probably a good time for a quick recap of what you've just learned from Treasury Decision 8734. You learn that 8734 addresses exclusively U.S. source income paid to foreign persons. You learned that in federal income tax regulations, payor is synonymous with withholding agent. You learned that a withholding agent is a person who has custody and control of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. You learned that when a payor withholding agent pays U.S. source income to a non-resident alien in the form of wages, the Secretary of the Treasury says the payor withholding agent must withhold U.S. income tax from the non-resident alien's wages under authority of Section 3402. A quick note before I continue. If you enjoy this kind of knowledge that you'll never get from any source other than this channel, please take a moment to subscribe and then hit the like button so the algorithm show this content to more people. Also, for a limited time, you can get free shipping on any of my writings as long as Income Tax Shattering the Myths is included in your order. Simply use the code TARIFFS at checkout. I'll discuss that more later. Now, let's take a look at Treasury Decision 8881, which also pertains exclusively to U.S. source income paid to foreign persons. When speaking of U.S. source income paid to a foreign person in the form of wages, it says, quote, such compensation should be subject to withholding under Section 3402. When speaking of what form to use and when, 8881 says, any item required to be reported on a Form W-2, including an item required to be shown on Form W-2 solely by reason of 1.6041-2 relating to returns of information for payments to employees. The Secretary of the Treasury is clearly stating the payments of U.S. source income to a non-resident alien in the form of wages is subject to wage withholding under authority of 3402 and that such withholding must be reported to the IRS on Form W-2. With that under your belt, let me share something I imagine you'll find startling. The income tax was enacted in 1913. That means As I'm recording this, the income tax has been in force for 112 years. In those 112 years, not a single Treasury decision exists saying that wage withholding under Section 3402 is to be performed on anyone other than a resident alien receiving U.S. source income in the form of wages. And no Treasury decision says a Form W-2 is to be used to report any withholding other than that affected upon U.S. source income paid to a non-resident alien in the form of wages. Not one in 112 years. Before we head back to the wage withholding statute, let me apply your newfound knowledge that the term payor means a person who has custody and control of U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. To apply your newfound knowledge, let's look at Section 3406 of the code, which discusses something called backup withholding. Due to the ignorance of business owners, accountants, and lawyers, there is the way income tax plays out in the business world versus what the law really says. And the two couldn't be more different. Ignorant shitbags wrongly apply backup withholding by telling a person who refuses to furnish a W-9 that the shitbag will backup withhold 31% from the money the person earned. So then, what does the backup withholding statute say? Backup withholding is at 26 U.S.C. 3406 and reads as follows. In the case of any reportable payment, if A, the payee fails to furnish his TIN to the payor in the manner required, B, the secretary notifies the payor that the TIN furnished by the payee is incorrect, C, there has been a notified payee underreporting described in subsection C, or there has been a payee certification failure described in subsection D. Then the payor shall deduct and withhold from such payment a tax, blah, blah, blah. When a knowledgeable person says, by law, I'm not permitted to give you a W-9, the ignorant person will threaten to steal 30% of the knowledgeable person's money simply because the ignorant person has never read the definition of payor. Ignorance doesn't make people shitbags. What makes them shitbags is that after you show them the law, they'll look you in the face and tell you they don't care. And if you don't commit perjury by signing a form that has zero applicability to you, they will steal 30% of your money. That makes them shitbags. If you'd like to know how to successfully deal with shitbags, shoot me an email at dave@drreality.news. But back to wage withholding. Everything about income tax law begins with a person's status. In income tax law, status means whether a person or entity is domestic or foreign. Every other facet of tax law comes into operation only after one's status is determined. As an example, a few minutes ago, you learned that in 112 years, the Secretary of the Treasury has said that the only person upon whom wage withholding is to be performed is a non-resident alien receiving U.S. source income in the form of wages. The pivotal distinction of the person's status does not appear in the statutes or the regs, but is found only in Treasury decisions. You know, the documents Americans don't know exist. Understanding that, now let's put some pieces together. A bit ago, we read the definition of employee that controls wage withholding. Well, now I'm going to show you that definition really doesn't exist to define employee, but exists to define employer. I know that sounds bizarre, but follow along and you'll see it for yourself. We know from Treasury Decisions 8734 and 8881 that wage withholding applies only to non-resident aliens receiving U.S. source income. Keeping that reality in mind, let's read the definition of employee again. It reads, for the purpose of this chapter, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States. What? Wait? What? Huh? a non-resident alien can't be an elected official of the United States. So what gives? I'm going to break it down into bite-sized pieces, not because you're dumb, but because this is one of the gimmicks, the tricks, legislative draftsmen have played to make it challenging for Americans to understand the law. Point one, the definition of employee is really all about defining employer. Point two, the definition of employee does not limit upon whom payroll withholding can be applied. Treasury decisions 8734 and 8881 do that. Point three, using the definition of employee as a roundabout means of defining employer is a trick intended to limit who is permitted to give workers a Form W-4 while preventing a casual reader from catching on to the scam. A moment ago, I said that 3401C, definition of employee, in reality exists only to define employer. Let's read the definition of employer so you can see this for yourself. The definition of employer is found at 26 U.S.C. 3401D, as in David, and reads, "For the purpose of this chapter, the term employer means the person for whom any individual performs or performed any service of whatever nature as the employee." I'm confident you noted there really is no definition of employer except that the employer has employees, the definition of which we've already read a couple of times. In short, the definition of employer is established 100% by the definition of employee. Do you recall that earlier we discussed that enumerated items after the term includes create a class? Let's look at the definition of employee again, and you tell me what the class is. A quick comment before we read it. The word state in the definition means federal states, not states of the union. The enumerated items in employee are an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. Okay, so what is the class defined by the enumerated items? You're likely thinking the class is people who work for various government entities, and you're 100% correct. But for the sake of completeness, let me put a finer point on it. The class is people who work for any entity under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. So then, because the definition of employer is established by the meaning of employee, the definition of employer is entities under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. That means the only entities that can engage in wage withholding are entities under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. Because only entities under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress are authorized to perform wage withholding, they are the only entities that can require a worker to furnish a W-4. However, those entities are not legally authorized to require every worker to sign a W-4. As per Treasury Decisions 8734 and 8881, those entities are only permitted to require a W-4 from their workers who are non-resident aliens receiving U.S. source income in the form of wages. In other words, private sector companies in the states of the union that are not federal instrumentalities have zero legal authority to withhold from the pay of their workers and have zero authority to require a worker to furnish a W-4. Without me making this video much longer by discussing all of Chapter 24, which is the chapter containing the command for wage withholding, let me state unequivocally that the command to withhold on wages is Congress instructing the entities under its exclusive legislative jurisdiction what they must do when they are paying wages to non-resident aliens. The wage withholding statute has zero authority over private sector companies in the states of the union that are not federal instrumentalities. Another way to phrase it is that Section 3402, the command to withhold on wages, is not a quote, law of general applicability. In law, 3402 is known as special law, meaning its authority is limited to only certain persons or entities. In the case of 3402, the entities to which its authority is limited are those under the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. Whew, okay, so this would be a good time to recap the legal tricks and gimmicks legislative draftsmen have used for more than a century to keep you in the dark about the extremely limited scope of the income tax. Phrased plainly, the income tax has never been imposed on Americans earning a living in the private sector in a state of the union. First, we discussed that legal terms, which look and sound just like ordinary words, cannot be defined by the English dictionary or your normal understanding of the word, but mean only what the legislatively provided definition says it means. And that meaning is always different from the commonly understood meaning. Second, we discussed how includes works as a term of limited expansion, which leads some people to think they can add to the definition whatever they believe in their brain the word should mean. Third, we discussed that critical information needed to truly make sense of tax law never appears in the statutes or regulations, but only in documents most Americans have never heard of and don't know exist, that of course being Treasury decisions. Fourth, we discussed how they structure a definition for one term so they can sneakily use it as the basis of another definition with the goal of concealing from the public the fact that employer, for the purpose of wage withholding, is limited to entities under its exclusive legislative jurisdiction of Congress. Fifth, the information necessary to correctly understand the income tax has been intentionally strewn across tens of thousands of pages of tax law documents. Actually, no. As I think about it, tens of thousands of pages is a woeful understatement. Here's why. There are 11 Treasury decisions stating a Form 1040 is to be used by a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. There are zero Treasury decisions saying anyone else is to use a Form 1040. But here's the thing. The first Treasury decision instructing non-resident aliens with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent to use a 1040 was published in 1913, and many of the others were published in the 1920s and 30s. My point is that the necessary information is not just strewn across current legal documents, but in reality, it's strewn across 112 years of tax law documents, which constitutes hundreds of thousands of pages. If that isn't intentional deceit, I don't know what is. The good news is I spent 17 years finding out all the facts and organizing them in a way every American can understand. That 17-year effort produced Income Tax Shattering the Myths, which gives you the knowledge to safely walk away from the income tax if, after learning the truth, you decide to exit the scam. Before I tell you how to get free shipping on my books, I want to make sure you are aware that the kind of legal trickery and gimmicks we've discussed today don't just apply to wage withholding. They are also used extensively throughout the tax code. Years ago, a retired FBI agent made a statement about the tax code. He said that he'd been working with federal law his whole career, and every area of federal law was clear and easy to understand. But the tax code was just the opposite. He said it seemed as if the tax code had been written with the intent of being inscrutable. When he made that statement all those years ago, he didn't know how right he was. A concerted effort has been made to keep the American people in the dark and thus compliant to a massive lie. The position held by most of the public is if they can't make sense of tax law, the only safe thing to do is whatever the government says. I get where they're coming from, but that mindset is 180 degrees backwards. The last thing you want to do is trust the people who are intentionally deceiving you. Intentionally deceiving you is the proof that they're manipulating you so they can steal your property. And for you business owners, the scam the government is pulling also involves you, such as people demanding Form W-9 from you. In fact, business owners being ignorant of what the W-9 actually means in law is what brings the IRS to your doorstep, claiming you have to pay the tax, a tax you don't owe, never have. So then, how do you safely walk away from the income tax scam when 99.9% of those with whom you do business are the shitbags we discussed earlier? It's far more simple than you might imagine. One might even say it's shockingly simple. Do you want out of the scam? Do you want to keep 100% of what your intelligence and ability have earned you? Do you also want to correct the false legal presumptions raised by having signed under penalty of perjury that you're someone you're not, engaged in something you're not? If that's what you want, I've got you. Drop me a line at dave@drreality.news. Alexander Solzhenitsyn famously said, "The simple step of the courageous individual is to not take part in the lie." I will show you how to safely step away from the lie and live the truth. But again, that all begins by reading Income Tax Shattering the Myths so that you aren't taking anyone's word for the facts because you've read the mountains of incontrovertible evidence with your own eyes. If you order now, I'll pay the shipping. In fact, right now, I'm offering free shipping on any order from my DrReality.news website if the order contains a copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I'm going to suggest you purchase the 4-pack containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, The Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, The Business Handbook for Forms W-9, 1099, a U.S. person, and Body Science. The first reason to get the 4-pack is the price is already deeply discounted from purchasing the 4 items individually. The second reason is that in addition to it being deeply discounted, you get free shipping simply by using the code TARIFFS. Here's a quick overview of each item in the 4-pack. Income Tax Shattering the Myths. You already know what that's going to give you. Mountains of incontrovertible proof that the income tax has never been imposed on ordinary hardworking Americans like you. Did I mention I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years? And many readers of Income Tax Shattering the Myths have safely walked away from the scam. The Business Guide to Payroll Withholding is a 13-page item intended to help workers convey the truth we've been discussing today to the company for which they work in order to ask them to follow the law and stop withholding. Not everyone is articulate or can recall legal citations on the spur of the moment, so I wrote the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding to help with that. It's also a great primer if you want to just wake someone up to the truth of the income tax. The Business Handbook for Form W-9, 1099, a U.S. person is also 13 pages and intended to help self-employed people communicate to those with whom they do business why they are not required to furnish a Form W-9 and why the person or entity paying them is not legally required, and in fact is not legally permitted, to file a Form 1099. The handbook is also a great primer if you want to just wake somebody up to the truth of the income tax. Body Science is my groundbreaking work on human physiology that is the key to what so many people say they want, which is to turn around the health of the American people. Sadly, the vast majority of Americans prefer to get their views on nutritional physiology from a corrupt media rather than a physiologist who tears down the false establishment health narratives and gives you the science of getting and staying healthy, presented in a way everyone can understand. If you are sincere about getting and staying healthy, and you want that for the people you care about, you need to read Body Science. I practice what I preach. I adhere to everything you'll discover in Body Science. In a few weeks, I'll be 66, and I'm as healthy as I was when I was 26. I'm in perfect health, no chronic diseases, no big pharma products, and I haven't been sick a day in years. Among many other benefits, that's how your immune system will function if you follow what you learn in Body Science. So, go to drreality.news and pick up Income Tax Shattering the Myths or the 4-pack. Remember to use the coupon code TARIFFS to get free shipping on any order that contains Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Also, purchasing any of my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. If you found today's content intriguing and compelling, please help spread the word by sharing this video far and wide. Thanks for spending your time with me today. I hope you consider it time well spent.